This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX this Friday and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour one on this Thursday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. If I would have said 15 hours ago, what do you think the Cowboys are going to do? You probably would have said maybe make a change because Bill Belichick's out there or Mike Vrabel's out there. Or do you promote from within with their defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn? Well, they're bringing back Mike McCarthy. And Jerry Jones, in some ways, is patient, and other areas, he's not patient. But when it comes to his coaches, he is patient, maybe to a fault. So multiple seasons of playoff heartbreak under Mike McCarthy, and he's coming back. Now, he's going to be a lame duck coach unless Jerry Jones extends his contract, but we've been down this road before. Jones played a similar game twice before. In 2014, he forced Jason Garrett to coach the final year of his contract without an extension. Well, Dallas won the East, eventually lost in the divisional round. Jason Garrett was rewarded with a five-year extension. 2019, Garrett and the Cowboys faced a similar dilemma. This time the team failed to make the playoffs, and then Garrett was fired. I don't know what Jerry is going to do as far as Mike McCarthy's future here, but if it's Super Bowl or bust for the Cowboys, and you could have upgraded with Bill Belichick, I don't even know if he made a call. Maybe this was just kind of a mere formality. Hey, no, we aren't bringing him back. He's loyal. He is loyal, and a lot of owners aren't. You can go to Carolina, and you don't have a loyal owner there, or when Daniel Snyder was with Washington. But loyal, maybe to a fault, but Mike McCarthy is coming back, and that's the big news when it comes to the Cowboys. Also, I was looking at the last 10 years, so since 2014, Mike Tomlin's coming back. Which fan base feels better, the Steelers that Mike Tomlin is coming back or the Cowboys that Mike McCarthy is coming back? I'm going to guess the Steelers feel better, even though the Cowboys are a better team. Since 2014, looking at the Steelers, they have two seasons where they won 12 games. Seven playoff appearances, zero Super Bowls. Overall record, they won 63% of their games. Postseason, they're 3-7. So that's 2-4 in the wild card, 1-2 in the divisional round, and 0-1 in a conference championship. The Cowboys, over the same time frame, five seasons of at least 12 wins, six playoff appearances, zero Super Bowls. They win an average of just over 60% of the time. Postseason record, 3-6, 3-2 in the wild card, 0-4 in the divisional round. But it feels like the Steelers happier to have Mike Tomlin back than maybe the Cowboys are with Mike McCarthy. Welcome to the program, already underway, 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address, dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at DP Show. Albert Breer, Monday morning quarterback. We'll have more on this. Also, Peter King will stop by as well. No word on the Eagles with Nick Sirianni. Feels like that the further along we get in the week, the more likely it is Nick Sirianni will keep his job. Diana Rossini done a great job reporting on this, And she said that the coach and the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, have not met, but they are talking about Nick Sirianni and the ownership looking for coordinators to help Nick Sirianni. That would lead me to believe Philadelphia is not going to make a move. Then it starts to tighten the window a little bit on the possibilities of where Mike Vrabel, maybe even Pete Carroll, certainly Bill Belichick, Jim Harbaugh. You know, it's the musical chairs. Now, the music's still going. There's still seats to sit, but it's starting to, soon as somebody hires somebody here, Raiders with Antonio Pierce, maybe something happens with Atlanta, then it starts to get even more interesting here. But we'll get to your phone calls, poll question, play of the day, stat of the day, all of that forthcoming. And our stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. This first hour brought to you by Express Employment Professionals. They're here to help you hire your next pro. Forget about posting jobs, sifting through resumes, interviews with unqualified applicants. You can move up to the pros. Go to expresspros.com to find the location nearest you. That's expresspros.com. All right, Seton, what's poll question today? By the way, we say good morning. You're watching on Peacock and our radio affiliates around the country.
We've got a few options on poll questions that are essentially the same but slightly tweaked.
Okay.
Jerry Jones keeping Mike McCarthy for another season is a smart move or dumb?
Well, I understand it. But just because Mike McCarthy and you get 12 wins, that's never, you know, really been the criticism here. It's we get to the postseason. Is Mike McCarthy able to get you further in the postseason? Is my coach an advantage when we get to the postseason? And I don't think he has been. Because if coaches want to fall on the sword and say, I didn't have my team prepared. I mean, you truly did not have your team prepared for the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to start with the coach, but, you know, Dak didn't play well, defense didn't play well, you know, and that's a one-off where the Eagles were not good for the last 2 months of the season. That, to me, feels a little more systemic of a coach issue there. But with Mike McCarthy, he is a very good coach, but it's nice to have a regular season coach who people think highly of. I need you to think highly of my coach when it comes to the postseason. I'd like to know if we have an advantage there. When the Patriots would play in the postseason, you'd always say, well, you got Brady and you got Belichick. And that was usually enough to beat just about every team. You had an advantage going into the game. Dallas doesn't. Your Cowboy quarterback, is he always going to be better than the quarterback he's facing? And Dak did have a good year. But they got a decision to make on Dak. You're going to pay him? You got 1 year left, so you're going to have a lame duck quarterback, lame duck coach? That makes me nervous. And if you're all in on Mike McCarthy, then maybe you extend him. Yeah, Seton.
Yeah, I wonder how much player contracts plays into the decision to keep Mike McCarthy. We can keep coach for another year, then maybe Dak is up in a year, CD's coming up. You know, maybe there's, if we're going to start fresh with a new coach, let's just start fresh with a new everybody.
And I do think that that transition is difficult, that if you bring in Belichick, he's got to bring in his staff. And then he's a defensive-minded coach. Are you losing Dan Quinn as your defensive coordinator? You don't want Bill running the offense, although he does get an upgrade at quarterback over Mac Jones. But, you know, when it comes to coaching, and we've said that about the Cowboys, you know, Mike McCarthy is not a good manager of the clock. And when it comes to the postseason, we've seen that right in front of us. Now, the clock wasn't an issue when they faced the Packers. If you're a Cowboy fan, you probably wish that it was a factor because then you would have been in the game. That was never a factor. Now, you start to look around and go, okay, Philadelphia not as formidable. The Niners window, to me, is going to close a little bit sooner than people think. Because, you know, George Kittle, like you have some positions there. Your left tackle, Christian McCaffrey contract, you know, Brandon Ayuk is going to want a contract. So there, it feels like that's a little bit more of a fluid situation of just how long this window of opportunity is for the Niners. But somebody else is going to get better sooner than you think. You know, the Lions are here. So if you're Dallas, you're like, all right, 12 wins, we're still going to be a formidable team. You know, Green Bay, A lot better than what we think. So if I'm looking at this and I want stability, but it still comes down to the playoffs. And I said that during the year. I don't care what Dallas does. They could go undefeated during the regular season. I don't care. The teams that even squeak in are more formidable. Green Bay, you sneak in, slip in. Now you're dangerous here. Dallas didn't feel dangerous. Tampa, they sneak in. They felt more dangerous. Dallas, it feels like, hey, we're the Cowboys. Yeah, you are the Cowboys, the current Cowboys, not the ones of 30 years ago. And I think there's a big difference there. The sense of entitlement, we're the Cowboys, we're celebrities, we're bigger than any other franchise in sports. And look at the place we play. We got everything, and then you have nothing. But Mike McCarthy, I understand Jerry being loyal to, he was too loyal with Jason Garrett. But also, you have to factor in, and this is probably way too deep. This is where a therapist might say, man, you're screwed up if I told him this. Let's say Belichick went to Dallas. Let's say he broke the all-time record there. Let's say he led them to the Super Bowl. Is there any part of this that Jerry Jones would go, yeah, but what about me? Like, this is all going to be about Belichick. As crazy as that may sound, that, yeah, I want to win a Super Bowl, but I want to be the biggest reason why we win. Like, people talk about me, Jerry Jones, winning the Super Bowl. And maybe that's, Freudian stuff there. But I don't want to. The reason why I had a breakup with Jimmy Johnson and a fractured relationship and friendship for 30 years was sharing credit. And I thought, okay, Belichick, does Belichick want to go into that situation? And I really wondered if he did. But he does want to win a Super Bowl. He wants to prove he can win a Super Bowl without. And let's say he did that. If Belichick goes into Dallas, wins a Super Bowl, and is the all-time victory leader in NFL history, now he just trumped Tom Brady. Now he just one-upped him. Yeah, Brady won with the Bucs. Yeah, but Bill won with the Cowboys. He's the all-time victory leader. And I just wonder, Jerry Jones, with ego playing a role in this, and I think Jerry still wants to be the guy. And Mike McCarthy allows him to be the guy. But Bill Belichick obviously would be an upgrade. But I do think the transitional period is what you may miss out on with Dallas. Does Bill come in and all of a sudden go, hey, we'll get to the playoffs. I'll take over from there. I don't think it's that easy. And go back to during the game that felt like there was something going on between CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. And a lot of people pointing to CeeDee Lamb and saying, hey, he's one of the biggest reasons why you lost. He got shut down by Zaire Alexander. But it felt like there was friction. Kevin Burkhardt and Greg Olson on the broadcast talked about that. So I don't know, the whole inner workings of the Cowboys, because it is fascinating of Jerry Jones's role in all of this. And you're on the clock. In life, you're on the clock. And you did get a chance to upgrade, and you chose not to. Mike McCarthy is a good coach. I don't know if he's a Hall of Fame coach. Maybe he eventually ends up in the Hall of Fame. But he's had really good quarterbacks. I mean, he had Aaron Rodgers. I think he had Brett Favre for a year. And he's got Dak Prescott. They were the number one scoring offense. And I have to give him a lot of credit because he took over the play calling. Although he didn't want to run the football, though. But. So it's kind of a fascinating time, and Albert Breer will join us and Peter King a little bit later on. We can ask them about this move and what it means for Belichick. More likely to end up with Atlanta. Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. Antonio Pierce with the Raiders. Who wants Carolina? So there's Washington. I love the Washington situation, but they're not ready to win right now. But you can walk in and go, okay, I do have my quarterback, or at least a guy I think with a rookie quarterback contract, now I can go out and get some players. And this is, we turn the corner from Daniel Snyder. Now we're going to be a legitimate team. a legitimate franchise. So phone calls are welcome. We'll settle on a poll question. And Tyler, standing by to take your calls. We'll hear from Jason Kelce about his retirement. Is Nick Bosa throwing shade at Aaron Rodgers, as the kids like to say? And Patrick Mahomes talks about his rivalry with Josh Allen. All of those things coming up. And email address DP at danpatrick.com, Twitter handle at DP Show. We'll take a break. We'll check in with Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, right after this Dan Patrick Show.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it. Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Teams that don't change coaches very often. Since 2012, the Ravens, one coach. Patriots, one. Steelers, one. Seahawks, one. Bengals have had two. Cowboys have had two. Chiefs have had two. People forget Romeo Crennel and then Andy Reid. Jason Garrett, Mike McCarthy, Marvin Lewis, Zach Taylor, but the other franchises, and I'm talking about successful franchises, the stability that's there with these teams. The Ravens still have Harbaugh. Patriots have a new coach. Steelers still have Tomlin. Seahawks, they're going to have a new head coach. Bengals, they still have Zach Taylor. Cowboys with Mike McCarthy, and the Chiefs with Andy Reid. Albert Breer, the Monday morning quarterback, senior NFL reporter, joining us on the program. The Cowboys make the right decision yesterday.
I think they probably did, and I know it's not going to satisfy very many people, but you know, I think there are two things to look at with Jerry Jones here. Like, first, this is to his history. I mean, it's just the idea that he's like this wildcat owner is just wrong. You know, he kept Jason Garrett for 9.5 years. He got into a fourth year with Wade Phillips. You know, he really has never had a quick trigger, and he has been loyal to his coaches, and he's empowered his coaches. And so, you know, I think that that's one piece of it. And then the second piece of it to me is maybe a little fear. You know, they won 12 games 3 years in a row. It's been a long time since the Cowboys were that good over an extended period of time. And I know the playoff results haven't been satisfying, but I think, you know, it's maybe a little fear that if we pull the plug on what we've got now and try to hit reset, and even with the same group of players, it might be hard to get up to this level again. And look, like, there's going to be fallout too. Like, now, I mean, I would say Dan Quinn probably leaves, right? Like, especially with the opportunity in Seattle out there. Mm-hmm. You know, if they offer him the job, I think he'd have a hard time passing it down. And then, you know, this could mean Belichick going to Atlanta. So there are certainly some tentacles that come off Jerry's decision after meeting with Mike yesterday.
Do you think the Cowboys ever reached out to Belichick?
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. Jerry and Steven have a very good relationship with Bill, you know, so it would certainly be a lever they could pull if they wanted to. And I look, like, he doesn't work for the Patriots anymore. So, you know, it's, you know, certainly something they could do. And if you remember, like, when the last time that Jerry fired a coach, like Jason was sort of twisting in the wind there for a while. Like, they were borderline running a search while Jason was still employed, you know, so it certainly wouldn't go against, you know, it certainly wouldn't be unprecedented when it comes to the way Jerry operates. And he has a sort of relationship with Belichick where if he wanted to do it, he could certainly do it.
You see Belichick and the Falcons as a good matchup?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think there's a couple elements here. Like, first, there are some connections between Arthur Blank and Bill. And, you know, like, they had Thomas Dimitroff there for 12 years, 13 years, I think, actually. And, like, Scott Pioli was there for a time. So, you know, Arthur Blank has seen the Patriot vernacular, and it's actually worked for him in the past. And that's given him a way of back-channeling to Belichick over the last few weeks. You know, and then I think the other piece of it, like, that, you know, I just think it's like a different type of hire than Blank's ever made before. Like, if you look back at his 25 years as owner, you know, he had Jim Moore, rising young assistant, Bobby Vitrino, college coach, Mike Smith, like an experienced assistant, but never seen as a head coach. That worked out pretty well. And then Dan Quinn and Arthur Smith as rising young assistant. So this would be totally different, but he's 81 years old, and I think he thinks he's got a team that's right on the precipice. If they can get the quarterback position worked out, to compete in the here and now. And so it would make sense if he would act with urgency right now, which I think is part of why he, you know, fired Arthur Smith as quickly as he did, and why they moved to go and bring Belichick in as quick as they did. I think a lot of it's going to come down, similar to like Harbaugh with the Chargers, I think a lot of it will come down to the infrastructure there, and if Bill thinks that he can set it up the way that he wants to set it up.
Yeah, we talk about Jerry Jones and his age. Arthur Blank has been closer to winning a Super Bowl than Jerry Jones has, and there's a sense of urgency. Yeah. They have a young team. They just need to have a little bit more of a culture there. It feels like they've you know, they were 8-9, 8-9, and 8-9. Well, you're going to pick 8th in the draft every year, and you're just not going to get that much better. And I understand, if you're going to swing, Arthur Blank is swinging for the fences, whether it's Harbaugh or Belichick. But you think Harbaugh, still more likely if he goes, it's the Chargers?
There's just so many tea leaves that are pointing that way. You know, Dan, I think, like, if you look at, like, with their general manager interviews, I mean, we can break this down. Like, Joe Ortiz works in Baltimore, worked with John Harbaugh. Ian Cunningham in Chicago came up in Baltimore, worked with John Harbaugh. Ed Dodds worked with Jim Harbaugh in Oakland 20 years ago. They've got a really strong relationship. And he's been seen as a guy who could be Harbaugh's GM for a while now. And then Brandon Brown, the Giants assistant general manager, has a relationship with Harbaugh as well. So that's four general manager interviews that have been connected to Harbaugh. I just think, like, if you look at Jim, I think from an NFL perspective, he's like the modern-day Parcells, right? Like, he is going to come in, He's going to shake your program up. He's going to get results really, really quickly, and he's going to run hot. And so, like, that might mean you're not signing up for 10 years. You might be signing up for 4 or 5. But you know what it's going to look like, and you're probably going to get results really quickly. And they've got this sort of roster where you can say that's exactly what they need. You know, like, they've got a roster that's ready to win right now. And the presence of the quarterback obviously isn't lost on anybody. So I just think for a lot of different reasons it matches up. Now, I think what this is going to come down to, a lot of people have made a lot of the money, right? The Chargers are sensitive to the idea that they're irrelevant in L.A. or that they're cheap, and hiring Harbaugh would address both those things. I don't think it's so much paying Harbaugh. It's like, are you willing to pay to bring in all the people that he wants there, right? Like, so does he want to bring Jesse Minter as his defensive coordinator for Michigan? How much is that going to cost? Does he want certain things in their new facility set up a certain way? You know, so there are a lot of things that I think are important. And then I think from Jim's perspective, after how things, you know, ended in San Francisco, I think his feel for the Spanos family is going to be really important too.
He's Albert Breer, the Monday Morning Quarterback, senior NFL reporter. The Eagles situation, Nick Sirianni has not met with his owner. They're, I think, supposed to, or at least it's been reported they'll meet today. Feels like Diana Rossini, with her reporting, that they're looking for coordinators here, not looking for a new head coach. Is that how you read this?
So, like, I would caution anybody to draw any sort of conclusions until after that meeting happens, because this is sort of how it went with Doug 3 years ago, where, like, you know, like, Jeffrey didn't do his meeting with the coach, like, the day after the season. He waited and waited almost a week, you know, and, like, that allowed for Doug and for Howie to kind of get their ducks in a row, and here's what it's going to look like. And, you know, when Doug went in there, there were disagreements over the staff, and that wound up being sort of it, you know? So, like, my perception of what Diana reported yesterday might be a little different than some other people, in that, like, I think some other people said, like, oh, well, maybe that's not exactly, that's not what you'd be doing if you were getting fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
I look at it more like, okay, are they just getting their ducks in a row now and working to put something in front of Jeffrey Lurie? And then it's up to Lurie to decide what he wants to do. I think that that's probably a more realistic way of looking at it.
It's a sensitive subject. I'll try to approach it as delicate as possible. How concerned should the NFL be with Jim Irsay running the Colts?
I mean, you know, like, there's that thing, right, like, where you say that that the owners are held to the same standard as players, and the NFL tried to trumpet that forever. And then, you know, after a few different things happened, they took that language out of their bylaws, right, or out of their constitution. And I mean, I think they've sort of made it clear in doing so and conducting themselves the way they've conducted themselves, that it's like that old Tex Schramm line. I don't know if you've heard that one, but at one point, like, this was like in the 70s or 80s during one of their labor negotiations, Tex Schramm was the president of the Cowboys at the time, said, "You guys don't understand. You're the cattle and we're the ranchers."
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of think that's what this is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they aren't held to the same standard, because I do think a player, like, and I do want to be sensitive to it, you know, but I think, like, if this was a player, or this was a coach, or this was an executive, they would be, like, in a situation like this, they would get treatment, they'd be treated with care, but they'd be removed from the situation, right? Like, so you would immediately move to say, okay, we're going to get people to take over his duties, and we're going to, whoever it is, like, whether it's a coach, a player, or somebody in the office, like, you know, we just can't have that person out front for our organization anymore. And we're going to give them their time to get well. And I actually think that's sort of the humane way to do it. But, you know, in a lot of these cases with owners, they don't want to go through the embarrassment of being removed, and they have the power to say no. And so that's what makes, you know, how this will be handled going forward a little less predictable.
Yeah, if this was the NBA, the NBA is taking control of franchises. That doesn't happen with the NFL.
Yeah, it doesn't. And it's just, I mean, look, it's like sort of the ethos of the sport, right? Like, and it's just, I mean, we've seen, I don't need to list the number of owners, but everybody knows there are a few where it's very, very clear they're not held to the same rules that everybody else in the league is.
Is it possible Harbaugh doesn't get an NFL job offer?
I mean, I'd say unlikely. I still think the Chargers, again, like I think it's more in this case, and he hasn't gotten, I mean, it's not like, you know, like the Broncos last year, there was like real back and forth. But other than that, like he really hasn't gotten a hard offer over the last few years. I think it's different this year.
You think the Chargers job is his if he wants it, Albert?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I think like the context of that's going to be important, right? Like, so I think a lot of it is going to come down to, you know, how it looks and how things are set up. And, you know, I think that'd be the thing that Jim would be leery of, you know? I mean, look, like, there's no secret. You know, he's clashed a little with his athletic director at Michigan, and he had an issue with the owner in San Francisco. And the Chargers have not only the owner, but, like, the two sons, John and A.G., run the football side and the business side. And so, you know, is Jim comfortable with that? Like, I think that's the stuff that they really need to work through. So I don't think it's a question of whether or not he'd get offered the job. I think he will. I think it's the context under which he's offered the job, right? Like, and what are the rules of engagement when he's going in? I think that that's the important stuff. Again, I think they'll pay him. Like, I think they will. I think a lot of it's going to come down to how it's set up and whether or not he's comfortable with that.
Always appreciate you taking time out. Safe travels. Thank you, Albert.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
That's Albert Breer, Monday Morning Quarterback. Some phone calls in here. Ed in Missouri leads us off. Hi, Ed. What's on your mind today?
Well, mostly the cold outside, but also football. You know, something that I haven't heard anybody talk about is the possibility of a colossal Bill Belichick failure, and Atlanta would be a good example. He's had 4 years to get the quarterback right in New England, and he has not done so. If he goes to an Atlanta and it's a train wreck, is that one of the most colossal disappointments in coaching history?
Well, I think it's because it's Belichick, whatever he does. I mean, does anybody remember Vince Lombardi's last days when he went to Washington? Michael Jordan going to the Wizards. You know, you have Emmitt Smith was playing in Arizona. I mean, these things happen. Do I think it's going to be, it'd be maybe more of a footnote there. I will say Atlanta, in my opinion, has more talent offensively than the Patriots do. And it feels like that's an upgrade for Bill. I thought Atlanta was one of those teams that, similar to the Buccaneers years ago when Tom went there, that they had that talent. You just needed to find that quarterback. They found that quarterback, and it all worked. Atlanta's not there yet, but they do have the potential. And you're playing in the same division that Brady went to, and he realized we can win this division, have home field advantage. Yes, Seton.
I think people need to decide if Bill Belichick gets credit or blame for the quarterback or doesn't at all. Because if he won all those games, but yeah, he didn't do it. It was Tom Brady. Tom Brady is the one who did all of that. But we expect him to fix Mac Jones. You can't really do both of those. You can't think that simultaneously. Either it was Tom Brady and Tom Brady won all those games, and now Mac Jones is just Mac Jones. He's not Tom Brady, so what's Bill supposed to do? Or Bill Belichick made Tom Brady, but he couldn't make Mac Jones.
Well, what's your opinion?
I don't know that if Tom Brady went somewhere else, he would have been Tom Brady.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with that. You have to give Bill credit for everything else. If you find your quarterback, you still have to take care of everything else. And Belichick was able to do that. Plus, he could be a coach of an offensive-minded team or a defensive-minded team. He could have a running attack. He could have a passing attack. He could have a really, really good defense. He was able to sort of whatever talent he had. I just don't think that, you know, Bill the coach couldn't overcome Bill the GM. And Bill made some bad decisions. Now, did he want Mac Jones? Did the Kraft family want Mac Jones? Was he forced to play Mac Jones? You know, that will eventually come out. It feels like all this stuff that we didn't know anything about is starting to leak out. And But I think Bill going to Atlanta might be one of those where we go, oh, that's right. He ended his career in Atlanta, if that happens. Andrew in Tampa. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, so I wasn't sure. I believe it was you said Bill Belichick would be a better fit in L.A. Personally, I feel like Bill would be a really good fit in Atlanta. Atlanta has two or three things that really thrived in Bill Belichick's offense outside of Tom Brady, and that's a really good tight end in Kyle Pitts and a really good running game and the two-headed monster with Bijan and Tyler Allgeier. And, yes, they do have Herbert, but I feel like I think that Atlanta has roughly $40 million in the cap and a top-10 pick. So I think that if Bill goes in there and has these pieces, picks out a quarterback, you still got Drake London on the outside and maybe get some late-round wide receivers, I think that's a team that we got to be scared of. But thank you guys very much. Have a blessed day, Dan.
Thank you, Andrew. Yeah, but the Chargers are underachievers. That's the team you take over. You got your quarterback. You got skilled position players. Whatever they decide to do with Austin Eckler. And then you got a defense that's got some marquee players. See, that to me would set up nicely for Belichick. Because he would come in and say, all right, this is what we're missing. This is what we're going to do. And he would be able to provide that. But I think that's where Harbaugh is looking. You want that team that's underachieved. That's really the most important part of this. If you're a coach who's been successful, Harbaugh can't go to Carolina. If Harbaugh is leaving, it feels like he's going to go to the Chargers. Washington, you're going to get a young quarterback, but they're not ready to win. You want to go from, I won the national title to, I got my team in the playoffs. Or Bill Belichick, hey, we didn't do anything for the last 4 years. Now I'm going to be back in the playoffs. Atlanta doesn't guarantee you that. The Chargers feel like they guarantee you that because they're underachievers. I don't know if Atlanta underachieved. I just don't think they achieved. Like, they're right there. They're sort of generic. But I do think that they're on the cusp of being a playoff team. You know, the Raiders, you're not going to get that. Antonio Pierce is going to get that. But, you know, Dallas is out of the equation now. So, you know, I think looking at this, trying to handicap this, if Harbaugh would leave back on the West Coast, you know, he's going to have that team in the playoffs. And Belichick, maybe Atlanta. But then, you know, how many more jobs are going to be there that you want to take? Bill is not here for the long haul. I mean, if he coaches 5 years, great. Harbaugh feels like he never stays in one place that long, although he has at his alma mater, but in the NFL, maybe 5 years. But if you're the Chargers, you're in a market where the Dodgers just spent $1 billion. You know, the Lakers are still the Lakers. The Clippers, they're going to be a playoff team and a formidable playoff team. You know, where do you fit? You don't. Nobody talks about it. You might as well be the Angels when it comes to football in L.A. And the Rams played well, and the Rams got a wonderful coach, skilled position players. They're going to be a playoff team again. If I'm the Chargers, you got to go all in. Just like Arthur Blank, swing for the fences. You only get, how many times are you going to get this opportunity where Belichick and Harbaugh, even Mike Vrabel, and you can throw in Pete Carroll as well.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app. Like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS, all in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
We know that quality sleep is essential, and that's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for you and your partner whenever you want. Two beds in one, firmer or softer on each side, you decide. And it helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature as well, quiets their snoring, so you stay sleeping comfortably all night long. Sleep Number does everything. My Sleep Number setting is 75. Sleep Number smart beds learn how you sleep. They provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. You will never need another bed. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Peter King, the great columnist, Football Morning in America, and contributor to Football Night in America. All right, Pete, let me start with the news here. Ian Rappaport saying Bill Belichick's got a second interview with the Atlanta Falcons. Do you think this is maybe a foregone conclusion? That's the best place for Belichick?
I don't know, Dan. I mean, you tell me now whether if you were Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman right now, you tell me, who do you want to coach your team next year? I mean, I understand that it's crazy to fire a coach 11 and a half months after he had his team in the Super Bowl. I get it. But you saw what happened to the Eagles. You listened to Jalen Hurts after the game, in which he gave probably the most lukewarm milquetoast endorsement of a coach that you could possibly give. And you tell me there's not some issues there. That plus the fact that Jalen Hurts played just laconic football at the end of the year. I don't know what to call it. I can't figure it out, but that word comes to mind. I guess if Atlanta is going to sprint out and, you know, go out there and really try to seal up Bill Belichick, I suppose they'll get him. But Seth Wickersham had a great post on social media, I think it was yesterday, where he said, remember how all these teams didn't go after Tom Brady when he was a free agent? And some of them really regret it. Dan, I'm telling you, to this day, I believe the 49ers sincerely regret it. I don't know what to say other than you can find all the ways to criticize Belichick the way you can find ways to criticize Tom Brady, you know, 4 years ago. But, I mean, it's Tom Brady. It's Bill Belichick. So, I don't know. I do think some teams are going to have regrets if the Falcons swoop in and sign him.
The Cowboys decide to keep Mike McCarthy with Bill Belichick out there. How surprising is that to upgrade your coaching position?
You know, look, if you've won 36 regular season games in 3 years, I think you have a great argument to stay regardless of what happens in the postseason. But, you know, Dan, look at 3 years in a row how their season has ended. It crashed and burned in Dallas against the 49ers 2 years ago when Dak and McCarthy screwed up the clock at the end of the game. It crashed and burned in an ugly loss at San Francisco, which they couldn't do anything on offense. And then, you know, look at what happened in San Francisco this year. They lose 42-10. So, you win 12 games, but does anybody really feel at the end of this season, however you feel about how they were just absolutely manhandled by the seventh seed in the NFC, whatever you feel, does anybody feel they're close to the 49ers? I don't. So I don't know. To me, I thought Jerry Jones was going to look at this and say, we need shock therapy. We're a good team, but we're not going to win with this current administration. But Jerry decided otherwise.
Yeah, trying to figure that out. The 12 wins is great. And they could have 12 wins next year. But But it doesn't mean anything unless you do something in the postseason. You could win 9 games and go to the Super Bowl. But, you know, hey, we got 12 wins. Okay, how dangerous are you when you get to the postseason? And you lose at home, and you lose to one of the youngest teams that we've had in recent history, and a quarterback making his postseason debut. And you were never in that game.
I mean, the crazy thing is, Dan, to me, when I think about that game, I just think that that had to be one of the most embarrassing games that Dan Quinn has ever run a defense for. And, you know, you look at the end of this season, I think the last, whatever, 8 or 9 games, I figured it out the other day, they've allowed 25 points a game and 353 yards.
Yeah.
This is not, I mean, it was a shocking development, no question, but that Cowboys defense has looked like the Eagles defense over the last 6 or 7 weeks. And I don't know what that means, really. I just know that, you know, just the same way I was shocked that Jonathan Gannon got the job in Arizona last year, coming off a game in which his defense gave up 2 of the softest touchdowns in Super Bowl history, to lose the Super Bowl. And then 3 days later, he's being introduced as the coach of the Cardinals. And again, look, Jonathan Gannon's a good coach. Don't get me wrong. So maybe it shouldn't matter. Dan Quinn's a good coach. Maybe it shouldn't matter. I can't figure out how you pull an absolute no-show in that game, and that's what the Dallas defense did.
Talking to Peter King, I don't know other candidates who have been reported with Seattle other than Dan Quinn. Who else is in play for the Seattle Seahawks?
That's a really good question. They've kept it very close to the vest. I think they're in no hurry. I think they're doing this the right way, quite honestly. John Schneider, he's not going to be forced into doing anything. I think the best guy for that job, without any question, is Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel will be perfect with a guy like John Schneider, because John Schneider is a really good personnel guy. He'll find a quarterback for Mike Vrabel. All Mike Vrabel has to do is go and replicate the Legion of Boom, and I'm exaggerating there, but Mike Vrabel is a really, really good defensive coach, can build a good defense, and even when there's nothing to play for, look what happened against Jacksonville. They played that game like it was the 7th game of the World Series. That's what you want in your head coach. That's what was lacking to me with Nick Sirianni over the last 6 weeks.
We had Albert Breer on last hour, and he said that he feels like the Chargers' job is Jim Harbaugh's, if he wants it. What do you think?
I think it is, too. The Chargers have to do it, Dan. There's no question about it. They don't have a choice. They have just gone from, you know, hiring an inexperienced head coach in Brandon Staley, and it didn't work. And now they're in some trouble with a quarterback who's a franchise quarterback, and all you ever do is go .500 there on average. I think they need – the fire alarm is going off in their building, and they need help. And I do think that Harbaugh is going to be the guy, just assuming that they can get the contract done.
The Washington job with the number 2 pick overall, it feels like that's a really good opportunity to step into, but you would know better than I would of what they're – are they going to get an established coach, a former coach?
I think it's more likely they get an offensive brain. I think when I sort of project all of these jobs, the one person for that job who I think would be ideal is Ben Johnson from Detroit. You see what he's done with Jared Goff. He's done a fantastic job with Goff. Goff was so tremendous the other night. I was in the building, and I'll just tell you this. There was a tenseness at the start of that game. There was that place. I wrote it in my column. At one point, they have one of those decibel meters, and the decibel meter was at 118. I mean, that's louder than Seattle, or maybe just as loud. Now, it's a dome, but that is the same noise that you hear if you were standing, which we would never do, if you're standing on the runway in a 737 is taking off and you're right there as it passes by. That's what the noise was. And it never stopped. Dan Quinn told me 75 minutes before the game, the hair on the back of his neck is standing up because he's never been in an environment like that at that point before the game. But I think Ben Johnson would be a really good candidate. They're going to take a quarterback number two, almost certainly. So let Ben Johnson work with, you know, one of those guys, Drake May, Penix, Caleb Williams, whatever happens. And that's what I would do if I were them.
The odds of Carolina getting an established coach.
I mean, Dan, who wants to coach in Carolina? Let's be honest. I mean, who wants to go to work for David Tepper? Tell me. I would like to know. There's a lot of people who would say, oh, I'll take that job. And look, they'll get somebody good. I mean, if I were them, I'd go hard after Lou Anarumo. He got jobbed last year. He is an excellent football coach. He will build a great defense, and he'll figure it out on offense. But I think Lou Anarumo would be a great choice there. He'd establish some toughness right away, some credibility. But I also think that they have to be looking at somebody to salvage Bryce Young. And look, I'm so tired of hearing Bryce Young's a bust. What a terrible choice, all that stuff. How would you know if you're running for your life every snap? I mean, it's ridiculous to say that Bryce Young's a waste. It's stupid. And he still has a chance, I think, to be really good in the NFL. They just have to prioritize the offensive line above all.
The situation with the Colts with Jim Irsay, obviously sensitivity there, but the NFL, how do you handle something like that with Jim Irsay's health situation?
If indeed that it is substance abuse related, I think they have to treat this with some care. I mean, obviously they'll treat it with care. But they also have to treat it like, you know, you can't have different rules for an owner that you have for, you know, a coach or a player. And in my opinion, I think the NFL is going to have to find a way to massage this and to gently find a way to make sure he gets X amount of treatment and that there is probably at some point some discipline involved if it is what it appears to be. But again, I think we're so early in the story, we may end up finding out that it isn't what everybody says it is right now. So I think we have to be cautious about making any final judgment on that right now.
Good to talk to you, Pete. Safe travels this weekend. Thank you.
Hey, all the best, Dan. Good to talk to you.
That's Peter King, Football Morning in America columnist, contributor to Football Night in America. Yes, Jim Irsay was found unresponsive, and this according to TMZ. And the team says it's a respiratory illness, but according to TMZ, he was found unresponsive. And looking at this as, you know, some kind of drug overdose here. But he runs the Colts. You know, the NBA takes over a franchise. They've done this before, and, you know, a dire situation like this. Like, Jim Harbaugh runs the Colts, or Jim Irsay runs the Colts. Like, that's alarming. And I know he's battled a drug addiction, you know, probably for the last 30 years. And has said he's been sober. Andrea Kramer did the sit-down with him on Real Sports on HBO, and he talked about how long he had been sober, but had this relapse reportedly. Couple of phone calls in here. Kurt in Michigan. Hi, Kurt. What's on your mind today?
Morning, DP.
Hey, bud.
Happy winter to you and the gang.
Thank you.
Are we sure that Belichick was going to get a job? I mean, ego would give me pause if I were an owner, but whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's against the grain. I don't know. But
he's available. He's the greatest coach of all time. I don't know what the downside would be. And if you're the Falcons, I mean, you don't have this history where you go, oh, my God, he's going to stain the reputation of our franchise. I mean, he already did that when he was the coach of the Patriots.
Oh, no.
But if you're Washington, Carolina, of course you're going to take him. You know, we speculated maybe Dallas would. I wondered if he would go to the West Coast with the Chargers. It feels like that's Jim Harbaugh's. But, I mean, he wants to go in and take over a team that's ready to win. They've underachieved. The Chargers certainly fit that description, and the Falcons do as well. Yes, Marv.
And if you're the Falcons, you take him for immediate relevancy, right? And yep. So you're looking. I'm looking at their opponent schedule. Primetime game. Falcons, Cowboys. Sunday night, Monday night. They play the NFC East next season. So he gives you automatic relevance, and you get a quarterback, Russell Wilson, and then, why not?
Okay, all right.
His wife's from Atlanta? Come on.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Does she want to go back to Atlanta?
Oh, I got to call her. I got to
ask her. Yeah, because I don't know that. I don't know. Sources close to Ciara saying that she – what's Future think about that?
Keep me out of that.
Okay.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What makes a Mercedes-Benz EV different? Electric is what gets you there, but Mercedes is what moves you. Like no other automaker can. The vehicle, all electric. The feeling, all Mercedes. The choice is all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.